Welcome to the 17th SNI and SNI Digital Baghdad Neurosurgery online meeting, held on September 4th, 2022. The meeting originator and coordinator is Samer Haas, University of Baghdad and Cincinnati. The speaker will discuss posterior interhemispheric approach for pulvinar and posterior thalamic lesions, anatomo-physiologic basis of surgery. Dr. Ahmed A. Al-Jabouri, Head, Department of Neurosurgery, Neuroscience Hospital, Baghdad, Iraq. The introduction is by Professor A. Hadi Al-Khalili, the former chair of the Department of Neurosurgery at Baghdad University.
The Jabouri, he is a graduate of medical school at 1993, and he got his board in the year 2000, and then he got some experience in skull-based surgery in 2008. And he got, scholarship or some degree with that fellowship in the skull-based surgery. And now he's head of the oncology department and genetics research center. And he is a very well-known surgeon. Basically on vascular surgery, but he does everything else as well. And so far, as I got the number in front of me, more than 4,000 cases he has done so far. And he's so young. It's amazing to do this number of cases with his young age. So, Dr. Adnan, please, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Good morning. Thank you very much, Professor Hadi. Of course, needless to say that Professor Hadi is the teacher of the generations of neurosurgeons. And he is not only a teacher, he is an inspirer, and he is the mentor of, I will not over-exaggerate if I will say, hundreds of neurosurgeons that he taught. Not only how to do the microneurosurgery, but how to think properly, because he is an academic person, in addition to a very professional microneurosurgeon. Professor Al-Khalili told me that I can present anything that I want. I'm not restricted in the subject. So I was a little bit surprised that it was a rather general meeting, and each one can present his own common experience. My talk will be rather different. I will present some very specific topic, but through this topic, you can evaluate the degree of work that we are doing in the neurosciences hospital. I'm the head of neurosurgical department, and this is 300 beds hospital, tertiary center located also in Baghdad. It had been established, started as a reconstruction in 1998, and it is opened in 2002. And from that date to now, it's doing thousands of cases. As I said, it is a tertiary referral center, mostly for vascular, for tumors, for functional neurosurgery, and for spine. And we have little referral for the trauma, because most of the trauma cases, they went to the neurosurgical hospital where Dr. Anwar is presenting his wonderful experience in the neurosurgical hospital. I'm working in another hospital, which is called Neurosciences Hospital, and now its name is changed to Asad Al-Witri, who is the founder of neurosurgery in Iraq. The name of hospital, of our hospital, is Asad Al-Witri Neurosciences Hospital. I will present my talk about very specific thing in neurosurgery, which is rather practiced rarely all over the world. That is the surgery of the thalamus. And the surgery of the thalamus is rather a new branch. Till recently, most of the neurosurgeons worldwide, they thought that the thalamus is forbidden place for surgery. And there are still some controversies regarding the approach to the thalamus. And because of its deep location, because of its very vital function, many neurosurgeons, they think that stereotactic biopsy followed by radiation is the optimum treatment. But this had been challenged by the leading neurosurgeons in the world, like Professor Spetzler, Professor Lauten, Professor Yezerji, Professor Dolling, to mention a few. I will present my own personal experience in surgery of a very specific location, the thalamus, that harbors most of the vascular malformations and the tumor, which is the pulvinar and the posterior thalamic region. The pulvinar and the posterior thalamic region constitutes more than 40% of the thalamic mass. So most of the thalamic tumors, more than 40%, resides within this small part of the thalamus. Needless to say that the thalamus is the main relay station. The cortex is nearly blind for everything unless the signals are relayed to the cortex. By the way, because I'm a neurophysiologist, I had a master's degree in neurophysiology, so I have an interest in the neurophysiology in addition to the neurosurgery, and I tried in all of my career to understand neurosurgery from a functional perspective, because I do think that there is a rather deep valley between our clinical practice and our basic knowledge about the neurophysiology. So this lecture presents a marriage between a neurophysiology, a pure neurophysiology, and how to invest this neurophysiological knowledge in neurosurgery. So this is the thalamus. Can you see my cursor?
Yes.
Yeah.
And as I said, it is a main relay station to the cortex. The cortex knows nothing about the external environment unless the information is referred or relayed by the thalamus. Here are the thalamic nuclei, more than 30 thalamic nuclei. I will not bother you about naming of these thalamic nuclei. And here are the thalamic function, arousal, and relaying of information up to the cortex. Vision. The cortex is blind unless it is relayed by the lateral geniculate nucleus, which is part of the thalamus. Hearing. The brain is deaf unless it receives information through the medial geniculate nucleus of the thalamus. About the gustatory, again, the thalamus will relate to the gyrus and to the insula, and also the general sensation through a nuclei of the thalamus. The only sensation that skips the thalamus is olfaction. For another reason, the olfaction is not filtered through the thalamus. It is referred directly to the cortex. Here is very important concepts of the thalamus that passed unnoticed by the neurosurgeons. I read all the articles that are written about the thalamus in neurosurgical literatures, and no one mentioned this very important two types of thalamic nuclei. One is called first-order thalamic nucleus. This is very vital, very eloquent. So you cannot play with this part of the thalamic nucleus from surgical perspective. There is another type of thalamic nucleus, which is the majority of the thalamic nucleus. It's called higher order thalamic nucleus. Here, it does not relate to the cortex. It receives from the cortex, and then it sends to the cortex. So it is just like association fibers. Here, it is a safe entry zone. If we compare the thalamus with the brainstem, there are safe entry zones to the thalamus. And now we are working on this area, what parts of the thalamus can act as a safe entry zone that you can pass through it, and what parts of the thalamus you cannot play with it because they are very eloquent, just like the brainstem. These two concepts are very important. They are very modern. They have been discovered in late 90s and early 2000s. Here you can see the black is very eloquent. It's the first order neurons or first order nuclei, sorry. And the white, they are non-eloquent. You can pass through them. The pulvinar is one of them. The MD nucleus, the nuclei that are adjacent to the form of Monroe, which means that when you are removing a colloid cyst, so you have some little way of manipulating the anterior thalamic tubercle because it is rather not as eloquent as other parts of the thalamus. You have to know the anatomy of these dark nuclei, because they are very liquid, devastating, permanent damage will happen if you intrude yourself in these parts of the thalamus. But these other parts, you can manipulate rather safely. And this is a paper from Professor Spetzler, who did a lot of thalamic work. He mentioned that the pulvinar of the thalamus, if you see my cursor, the pulvinar of the thalamus, this area is remarkable in tolerating surgical manipulation. He didn't mention why. This paper is published in the Neurosurgery Journal in 2006. And he didn't mention why the pulvinar can tolerate manipulation. This because it is higher order nucleus, the pulvinar. It is not first order nucleus. So it is a safe entry zone to operate on the thalamus or to consider it as a path toward the other parts of the thalamus, a safe entry zone. Sorry. Okay. I will skip some of the slides. The thalamus is the posterior part of the pulvinar is the posterior part of the thalamus. There are two parts of the pulvinar. There are cisternal pulvinar and ventricular pulvinar. This also passed unnoticed by the great book of Professor Rotten. He only mentioned the ventricular pulvinar, but he didn't emphasize on a cisternal pulvinar, which is much safer than a ventricular pulvinar. Here you can see that this is the pulvinar, but this is inside the ventricle. Here we are inside the ventricle. And here we are outside the ventricle. This is again pulvinar. Here is the pulvinar inside the ventricle, the ventricular pulvinar, and this is the cisternal pulvinar. This is not forgivable. If you go to this part, as I will show in my slides by Professor Spetzler, he attacked the cavernoma in the pulvinar through the ventricle. But here it is not very forgivable because just lateral to it here, you have the posterior limb of the internal capsule. So manipulating this part of the pulvinar can lead to a devastating hemiplegia, as it is mentioned by Professor Spetzler. While if you go to this part of the pulvinar, can lead you to the same target away from the posterior limb of the internal capsule. This was the rationale of our work. These are the, as you said, what is the function of the, as I said, the pulvinar is rather an area that is of safe entry zone. What's the function of pulvinar? It is a major attention center in the brain, but it works together with the frontal lobe and parietal lobe. Because I have no time, I will skip some of the slides because, as I said, it is rather a technical lecture. These are the thalamic regions that are classified by Spetzler, and he put the pulvinar as an area number 5 and 6, 4, 5, and 6. These are the posterior thalamic region by the classification, surgical classification of Spetzler. And he attacked these through this parieto-occipital transcalusal approach. And here we have some notifications. We rather disagree with this approach. And because I am the director of the cadaveric lab in Amman, I went there and I studied the thalamus and I chose another approach that I am presenting here. Here, as you can see, that there is potential neurological deficits, that is because of this approach. There is visual complication in more than 50% of the cases. Lauten chose another approach, which is rather complicated, supracerebellar, infratentorial, contralateral, but this depends on the steepness of the tentorium, and also you can encounter many of the bridging veins. So I went to Professor Hirdesnimi. I spent some time with Professor Hirdesnimi. He did a wonderful job about the surgery of the pulvinar, but he had no specifications. Sometimes he used midline, sometimes he used paramedian in sitting position with all of its danger. So as I said, I did many, many courses in my lab in Amman. I am the director of this lab. And I went there, I studied the best approach by trial and error. And I used this one. It is below the lambdoid, posterior interhemispheric. It is below the lambdoid suture where there are no bridging veins. There is no incision in the splenium or the posterior body of the corpus callosum, so there is no possibilities of disconnection syndrome. Both parts of the pulvinar can be seen simultaneously. That means that the cisternal and the ventricular pulvinar, and most importantly, you don't need to use retraction. Gravity works with you, and this is very important concepts as all of the neurosurgeons well know, and it is very easy and very simple, very safe. We put the patient to the park bench. The lesion is in downward against intuition, and we use 9-centimeter incision, 1 centimeter below the midline, 2/3 above the inion, 1/3 below the inion, and the head is inclined 15 degrees toward the ground. This is the position that we used after we studied it in the lab. As you can see, that the head is turned 15 degrees toward the ground. I'm using Sujita. I prefer it over the Mayfield, though I have the Mayfield. Very simple linear incision. Most of the neurosurgeons, they are using horseshoe. This horseshoe that can cut the cutaneous fibers, and the patient will complain of paresthesia and dysthesia, while this simple linear incision, faster in healing, and it does not leave any dysthesic complications. Here is the opening. I don't use self-cerebellar retractor. These springs that are provided by the company, they are flush to the skin. And then single burr hole, and then craniotomy 4x4, exposing the posterior superior sagittal sinus and the transverse sinus. The most important thing is the issue of brain edema. This can be solved either by lumbar drain or by using Dandy's point. Here is the Dandy's point. Then you have this working space toward the pulvinar. The retractor is used as a reminder, not as a retractor here. And my personal experience, I'm operating on 38 cases, the age range from 3 to 71. There are 18 females, 20 males, 27, most of them, they are gliomas. The gliomas, mostly they are pilocytic, benign, so the surgery is curative, no need of radiation, no need of chemotherapy. Oligodendroglioma 9 and 1 glioblastoma, 5 cavernomas, 3 AVM, and 1 bullet that presented with repeated abscesses. He went elsewhere outside Iraq. They told him that the bullet is unapproachable, so the abscess accumulates again and again. And I removed the bullet and the patient is cured. And there are 2 cases of arachnoid cyst. As you can see, these are my results. I have only 1 death, that is in the postoperative edema by glioblastoma. The tumor was very vascular. Cavernoma totally resected in the 5 cases. There is improvement of the ocular movement. There is improvement of the motor function, and there is no change in 2 cases. In the AVM, 3 cases, I'm operating AVM in the pulvinar. As we said, that some of the neurosurgeons think that the AVM here is probably for gamma knife. We did surgery for this AVM, and it was curable, uneventful surgery. I'm using the Kinevo microscope, Kinevo 900, and I'm using the mouth switch, which is 30% reduction of operative time, and I'm also using a foot switch. So there is no need to take your hands off the surgical field. You are always paying attention to the surgical field. You can move, you can focus by the mouth, and you can zoom by your feet. I will present only 1 case. This is a young lady presented with progressive hemiparesis, and there is no speech disturbances. And as you can see, that there is well circumscribed hyperdense region located on the left pulvinar. If you come from here, then this is the left hemisphere. She has normal speech. There is very small ventricle to tackle this cavernoma. So we choose the posterior interhemispheric transpulvinar approach. Here's the MRI, as you can see, intensely enhanced, located in the posterior thalamus. Here is the surgery. Here you can see the patient in a park bench position. This is the dependent hemisphere downward. Here is the basal vein of Rosenthal, the parieto-occipital artery. Here is the splenium. There is no splenial incision. We develop a space below the splenium. Below the splenium, laterally, here is the pulvinar. This is the cisternal pulvinar. This is the anterior calcarine vein. We studied this vein. This is rather small vein draining very small area on the anterior calcarine region. And in most of the cases, you can sacrify it without any ill effect. We measured the visual field and visual acuity, nothing happened, but you have to distinguish it from the basal vein of Rosenthal, which lies just below it, and it dives in the ambient cistern here. You can see here, I am developing a space. This is the pulvinar. And we have the navigation. This is the STEELT-8 navigation system. Then you have to determine the entry point through the pulvinar. This is the pulvinar. But please don't confuse the pulvinar with the quadrigeminal plate. Quadrigeminal is here. We did not open the tentorium because the tentorium will stop us. And you can see that now the cavernoma came into the scene. Of course, it is meaningless to evacuate the old blood in cavernoma. You need to remove the wall of the cavernoma. So after evacuation, you have to dissect the cavernoma. Here we are through the cisternal pulvinar, which means that the internal capsule is rather away from us, the posterior limb of the internal capsule. Here we are using the sucker as a dissector, and the wall of the cavernoma is very gently delivered. You can see that the gravity helps us. There is no lalar attractor on this hemisphere. By the gravity, it is downward. So there is no visual complication, as it is monitored in 50% of the Lautens and Spetzler's cases. Here's the parietal occipital artery. You have to preserve it, of course, needless to say. And then the splenium is up, is preserved. This is the tentorium. You don't need to open the tentorium because it is ipsilateral. Very gradually, you can remove the whole cavernoma. Here you can see this is the sac of the cavernoma. Of course, as I repeatedly emphasized, evacuating just the content is a meaningless surgery. And I think all of us will agree that Gamma Knife has a very little role in cavernoma. The only hope for this young lady that this cavernoma is bleeding repeatedly, and it is a well-recognized fact that thalamic cavernomas have higher complication rates, higher bleeding rates than the cavernomas elsewhere. And here, operative results, this is the craniotomy, and this is our journey from here. And here you can see no cavernoma. This is the post-op. Of course, we are always search for the evidence-based medicine, pre-op, post-op, and this is our journey. And this is the gel form that is placed here. She has dense hemiplegia before the operation, pre-op and post-op. And here is the patient. There is some residual weakness, but at least she is no more wheelchair-bounded. Here there is another child, 10 years old, with the pulvinar tumor. This is a pilocytic astrocytoma. Here's the same surgery because I have, perhaps I'm passing my time. Here is the pulvinar. No need to open the tentorium. Of course, it is optional. If you need more vision on the other side, you can open. You can see there is no retraction. No retraction, no visual complication. Taking the perforators away from the entry point, and then removing the tumor. Remarkably, the thalamic glioma is very distinct from the normal tissues. And we do know that the surrounding tissues is rather forgivable. It is a pulvinar, an attention center, but there is substitute for this attention center in the frontal lobe and in the parietal lobe. So this is a safe entry zone for the thalamus, not very liquid. But don't go inferiorly because here are the geniculating nuclei, and don't go laterally because of the internal capsule. You can see very clearly separated, and its removal is a rather routine work. Sometimes, of course, you need to use the endoscope to see this angle, the most lateral angle. Here you can see the normal tissue. Hemostasis, this is the last piece. There is a clear line of demarcation between the normal thalamic tissue and the tumor. This surgery is curative. No need of radiation therapy. I followed this child for the last 5 years, and she is doing very well. This is the postoperative MRI. Here is the preoperative and the postoperative, and here is the child. 2 years later, she is perfectly normal. No radiation, no chemotherapy. Cavernoma, this lady is very young, 20 years old, 26. She has shunted, and this cavernoma in the thalamus bleeds many times. This is the location of the, I will skip the operation, and this is the post-op. This is the pre-op, and this is the post-op, and you can see this is a DVA. It is not a residual cavernoma. I hope that I can show it in the video. This is developmental venous anomaly that should be respected. And this is pre-op, and this is post-op. AVM also in the thalamus. Here you can see that there is an AVM located in the pulvinar in a young boy, and it bled twice. This is the hematoma, and this is the AVM. Here is the AVM by FLIR study. Again, I will skip the surgery, and this is the post-op. Here you can see pilocytic, huge pilocytic astrocytoma, and 6 years old. He came comatose, and this is an enhancing wall, an actively proliferating wall. Of course, if you put Omea here, or if you just drain this one, then you did nothing to me. Here is the postoperative course, cotto resection, and the child is totally cured, and I followed him for the last 3 years. He's doing very well. It is pilocytic, despite its very ugly appearance. It is very benign, and the child is doing very well. Another case, pre and post. Here is there is arterial meningioma. This approach can not only be used for the lesions of the pulvinar, it can also be used when the ventricle is small. And here is on the left side. You can, of course, go transcortical, but this is left and very small. Then we choose the medial precuneal approach that had been invented by Professor Yezergi here from precuneus. It is the same thing. And here is the postoperative, a linear incision. And he has nothing, no visual impairment. This is choroid plexus papilloma. And somebody put a shunt on the ipsilateral side, which makes opening on this area is rather cumbersome. We came from the medial side, and this is the post-op, and here is the shunt. AVM on the precuneal area can also be resected through the same approach. This is a pre-op, rather big. Perhaps it is Pesla-Martin grade 4 or 3. And this is the post-op total resection, a young lady. So in conclusion, pathology of the pulvinar and the posterior thoracic region are not uncommon, and they can all be approached through a simple posterior interhemispheric situated below the lambdoid suture and the patient in the park bench position with the lesion downward. According to the recent understanding of the thalamic physiology, there are safe entry zones to the thalamus. And as I said, I'm working on this issue because I think this is important. We, as a neurosurgeons, have, I hope I'm wrong, a very dim idea about the functional localization in the thalamus. The pulvinar, the posterior thalamic region, can tolerate a remarkable manipulation, as is mentioned by Spetzler. Why? Because it contributes with the higher cortical centers for attention. Posterior interhemispheric approach can also be used for arterial tumors through precuneal approach and medial parieto-occipital lesion, such as AVM. And thank you very much for your listening, and sorry to take perhaps much more than the time that's allowed for me.
Well, time was worth it, Dr. Adnan.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Professor.
Well, I'm really surprised that this world-class surgery, meticulous surgery, and you said it is simple and easy surgery in your one of your slides.
Yes, Professor, I'm speaking about approach.
Yeah, I know. For you it is simple and easy, but it's
no,
really
for all of us, Professor.
We are very, very proud of what you have achieved. Really,
this thank is you, unique. Professor. It's a great certificate for you.
Can I make a comment, Adi?
Please.
First of all, Dr. Rahman, that was an outstanding talk, and I invite you to submit this talk, which I think has very good information to Surgical Neurology International as a paper in one or two parts. You may know in 1980 or 1990, we presented the approach of the three-quarter prone, occipital side down approach to the pineal region. Which is very, which is similar to what you're doing. You're going above the cerebellum for the same principles to get to the thalamus. I think it's an excellent approach. It achieves all the goals that you said, which is minimal retraction, avoiding avascular structures, important structures. What was very important to me is your observations physiologically about the first and second order neurons in the pulvinar. And I thought it was a superb piece of work. And I can tell you it, we used the exact Sugita frame, same position, same things. I'll send you the paper. It was a, it's an outstanding presentation. I want to tell you that outstanding. And it ranks among the best in the world. So in the presentations of others, for example, who were working and Dr. Amar, and who was working in the hospital and does an immense amount of trauma work and clinical work, his achievements are also outstanding. And so are the dean of the medical school, Dr. Ahmed. So I congratulate you. This is first class job.
Thank you very much, Professor.
Absolutely.
I'm greatly appreciating these words.
Dr. Lazar, you have any comment?
No, I just say I agree with Dr. Osman, and I was just checking on my phone while you were talking whether did you publish that thing, and apparently you didn't publish, which is great invitation to surgical neurology. This is deserves to be.
I will submit this paper. I'm just completing the paper. I will submit to the Surgical Neurology International.
Fantastic.
When you send it to my attention.
Yes.
Make sure that I see it. And if you don't have enough room, you can publish it as part one and part two.
Yes.
It is a superb talk.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And besides that, we're going to have your talk on video in SNI Digital.
Okay.
Yeah. Dr. Samer, do you have anything to comment on?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Dr. Ahmed, for this very nice presentation. I feel proud to show this advancement doing in Iraq and how we tackle this such a difficult, let's say, eloquent location with more added risk with the difficult lesion. I think, we are all proud of your experience and your scientific pathway in doing things. For those who don't know, maybe I didn't work for Dr. Ahmed directly, but he inspired me about microsurgery, about he's the first person introduced, not only for me, for my generation or my years, that who's Roton, how to study Roton, how important is Roton. And from that point, we can go to the next steps and achieve more. And as Dr. Khalili said, that Dr. Ahmed makes things easy. I just remember a talk with him after a surgery, and he said, oh, I have like maybe four distinguished approaches I use to learn this from me and then go to another mentor and try to learn more. And keeping this in mind till today helped me a lot, like make things easier. Then I have the courage to advance more. That's what I want to say here. And I'm proud of you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Samer. Thank you for your comments. And I'm sure you are one of the most promising young neurosurgeon, and we rely many on you to push the wagon of neurosurgery forward in Iraq, not only in Iraq, in Iraq, in Arab countries, in the region, and even in the world.
Thank you.
Great. Absolutely right. For both of you. Any comment, any question, please, from our audience?
Sir, can I?
Yes, please, Dr. Anjam.
Yes, so needless to say that I'm proud about your talk, Dr. Ahmed, and very happy. You know that we join together a lot of surgeries and we join such cases, and I want to say that when we talk with the patient about the risk of this operation, it is very disastrous. But I always be mentored by Dr. Ahmed to say that we should work hard and we should emphasize ourselves to do microsurgical and microsurgical techniques and microsurgical approach. So really, he is, if you are close to Dr. Ahmed, you can know that he dedicated his life for this microsurgical techniques and operations. And I am, needless to say, I am proud of him. So thanks for this night talk.
Thank you very much, Dr. Anjam. He is my lifelong friend and partner. Of course, we are working together. My private work is in north of Iraq, in Kurdistan, in Par Hospital. He is the head of neurosurgical department there. And we are working together for the last perhaps 15 years, doing weekly perhaps 6-7 craniotomies at the weekend. And he's a great partner and a great friend to mine.
Any more questions, comments?
The video editors were Mustafa Ismail, College of Medicine, University of Baghdad, and Fatima Ayad, fourth year medical student, University of Baghdad. We hope you enjoyed this presentation. Please fill out your evaluation of this video to receive CME credit. This series is supported by the James I. and Carolyn R. Ausman Educational Foundation, owner of SNI and SNI Digital, and the Waymaster Corporation, producers of the Leading Gen television series, Silent Majority Speaks, Role Models, and the Medical News Network. This recorded session is available free on snidigital.org. Send your questions or comments to Ausman at snidigital.org. Thank you.